that God, and people are happy with the counterfeit. Happy with the counterfeit. If they had the real thing, that would create some problems. Happy with the counterfeit. And as Susan was bringing, I don't think there's anything too real special about us as individuals. But I believe that we are not in the market for a counterfeit. I believe that that can be said about us. What we want is the real Jesus, the real God, the real truth, and let the chips fall where they may. I think that can be said about us.
Amen. God's truth. It's Sunday morning, June 2nd. It's a glorious day, as we like to say here in God's country.
Thank you. I realized this morning how difficult it is for people to tell the difference between Jesus and God and the Father. I'll give you a scripture that jumped out at me this morning, and I thought, is that what that says? I'll read it to you. It's in the fourth chapter of Revelation, verse 11. And it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord." Who are we talking about?
Probably Jesus, but I don't know.
Well, are we talking about the Father or the Son? Here's what, you know, we can say the Father, to receive glory and honor, I mean to receive, no, and power. God's not going to receive the power.
Mm-hmm.
You're worthy to receive the power. We're talking about Jesus. But it doesn't appear that way. But here's what it says, and this is what threw me off. I mean, I only, just this morning, I thought, God doesn't receive power. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All power is given to me." Nobody gives God power. God gives the power. You're worthy to receive the power.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? But what threw me off was it says, "And for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created." And somehow, the Son of God fits into the economy, that's not the right word, but into the plan and the works and the assumption of God a lot more, a lot deeper than any of us realize. Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder people get confused. As much as we have heard here, there's a lot of things that are still confusing. And they're going to be confusing. And how that jumped out, but it's like, God doesn't receive power from anybody. God gives the power.
Amen.
And yet, somehow, it tells us, like in the first chapter of Hebrews, that through Jesus, God created. What's that mean? And I was, the other day, as I listened to the scriptures, I got thinking, you know what? Jesus was the plan before God ever created anything. It's no wonder that Paul says, "Oh, that I might know him." Amen. Jesus is a lot more of this whole picture than what we will ever realize, probably. And it's through him that God, when God said he created man in his image? As Jesus Christ is an image that God, that we are to be created into. And whether God sees the future or and behind, and he sees everything all at the same time, I don't know how can I know? But somehow, we were created in the image of God into Jesus Christ.
You know, the natural man says, well, of course he's God. The natural man says that Jesus, I mean, with all that, of course he's God. It is requires a spiritual revelation to recognize the humanity of Christ.
You know, and we can only speculate, but let's just suppose, okay? Let's change the picture into Charles Schaeffer. And God says, I am going to create all of my creation into this. This is who I'm going to have. But it's Jesus Christ. But God, I'm going to, this is my plan. This is what I'm going to have. Everything is going to be this. And so, because of who God is, he could talk in the future, in the present. In the past, in the present. That's who he is. And so, I don't know where Jesus fits into this thing in the beginning and how God created all things through him, or if he even had to be there. You know what I mean? Because God doesn't live in the past or the future or wherever. Everything is right now. And I've not given any speculations as to where he was or who he was or how it worked, but here it says, for his pleasure they were created. God didn't receive power. God gave power. And Jesus says, all power has been given to me. Do you follow what I'm saying? I was okay until the word power got stuck into this verse.
One word. It's, I have a little notation. I don't know, I don't want to throw a wrench into all this, but it says in two other texts that you are worthy, O Lord and God. And I'm just going to point this out for whatever it is, but the whole chapter 4, I believe, is speaking of the Father. If you read the whole chapter before all of that, but that's, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, you can't very well stop there, Ken.
What? At chapter 4.
I mean, well, no. Just throwing that out. I think maybe you're right that the whole thing is.
I mean, in 8 it says, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Mm-hmm. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying.
I didn't mean to throw us off here.
Well, I don't know. I
saw that.
I mean,
in my mind.
But does he need to receive glory and honor? Yeah.
Yeah.
And power? What is that, like power for us?
Well, I don't know, but for thy pleasure they were created. And so in my mind for years it's been, we're talking about God, we're talking about the Father.
Where does it say about that, thy pleasure?
Verse 11. For thy pleasure they were created.
Very
end.
Oh, well, I know why, because my version says it different.
Actually, reading a different, just a Berean study kind. Study Bible of Revelations 4:11 reads, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. By your will they exist and came to be."
That's about what mine says.
Yeah, I think that pleasure, the notion of pleasure is an archaic way of saying it's your
will.
You've decided it or yeah. something.
Because at the top of chapter 4, I mean, underneath it, it says here, this is John's vision of God's throne. So, I mean, it's John's interpretation of what he's seeing of God's throne. Yeah. And I guess it just leads me to believe that he's talking about God. But, and like you were saying, I mean, where does Jesus fit in? Well, I mean, the whole thing is God knew all of us from way before we knew all of us, okay? He knew us from the beginning. Did he not know Jesus from the beginning?
And no man has ever seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, where is he? Who is in the bosom above the Father? What's that mean? I'm saying that there's a, I think there's a lot more of a, is it integral, is that the word I want? Relationship here than what we are beginning to realize.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you,
Jesus and the Father in Him, us in Him, and it's more of a interrelationship thing. You know, so, does that put Him somewhere, somehow? I mean, this is what gets people confused.
Yeah. And I think there can be some, perhaps, intentional, in the spirit, intentional ambiguity going on. It's not the only place in the Bible where there is, what is this? Is this, you know. Let me say, in support of what Ken was saying, though, the beginning of chapter 5, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written." And then it turned out that it was the Lamb was able to open that book, suggesting, you know, that was Jesus. It was a
I mean, he is the only reason we have anything with God.
Because the Lamb, now things can be so complicated and ambiguous and so forth. So to rule out Jesus from chapter 4, something I'm not quite prepared to do. You know, Lord is often what Jesus is referred to.
Well, it says that in Acts 2:36, it says, "Let the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made him both Lord and Christ." I mean, God made him Lord. Yeah. God calls himself Lord. And a lot of times we can't tell who we're talking about.
And they used to call the patriarchs
Lord. Right. Yeah. Sarah called Abraham Lord.
Yeah. I think I mentioned before that I heard a sermon down in Peru in Spanish, and the only thing I could make out was Señor, which was a reference to Lord. You know, so it's that's the meaning of it. Someone kind of, who you call the Señor.
The one authority.
Yeah, somehow.
Imposition.
Yeah, right. In a higher, right. Which doesn't rule out God, of course, but.
I agree. Revelations 4:11 seems like it's talking about God. And talk about power, and God certainly doesn't need power, but it does seem to flow with the way they spoke at that time. Yeah.
It's like, we give you that glory and honor that you have the power.
Yeah. So I understand. I realize that's a.
I mean,
that's
I don't know.
It's a supposition on an interpretation on, and it is Revelations. And I do think Charlie quite correctly points out that if you're not careful and you start thinking a little too much, then you get in trouble. Now, you know, God reveals it, then I'm really excited about it. But, well, you know, it gets tough. I'm square in the middle. I a little line up
with Keith, though, when it talks about Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Sounds like Jesus, kind of.
Well, the strange thing is that even though Jesus is not labeled as God, and we don't receive him as such, Thomas says, you know, called him God.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there was no correction. Yeah. And so I'm thinking, and remember when they said, when you call yourself the Son of God, you make yourself God. And so he didn't say, well, I'm not God. He said, doesn't your word say that God says you are God's? And so I'm thinking that we, throughout eternity, what are we going to be? You know what I mean? Who knows? I mean, if we make it, which I hope we do. But we're going to be in a different dimension than we even can fathom.
I love the idea of being in that totally unsorted out position in John 17:21.
Yeah.
Father, me, you know, all that tangled ball of wine, twine, whatever. It's more tangled.
No matter what it looks like, there's numerous times that it tells us that God created all things by Christ. And it's like, it don't make sense. Hmm. But that is what it says.
Yeah. So, in 5, it says, 9, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue, people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the throne. And then in 12 it says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Then in 13 it says, blessing and honor, glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
So, I'll go back to what I said. Sometimes the scripture is not real clear on purpose to confuse the natural. Because it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
To your one point, Keith, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
To your one point. Jesus never, you know, Jesus kept asking the disciples, well, who am I? Who do they say I am? You know, he never once said he was God. Thomas, at the very end, after the resurrection, says, my Lord, my God, and Jesus lets it go. That it's an assumption to say that he agreed with them or he was right. Yeah, because they often said, my Lord,
and I find some ambiguity in what Thomas said.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say, oh my God. You know,
you could be saying, oh my Lord, he's in front of me, and my God.
Yeah, you sure could.
Yeah.
You really could.
Yeah.
But so those are scriptures that stand by themselves, kind of. So then what do? You go to all the other scriptures where Jesus says who he is.
Yeah.
Where God says who he is, you know.
So then you come right back to the word where God wants us to look.
Right? Yes, that's right.
Hey.
And there we are.
Yes, I think the whole point of it is, as Susan is saying, go to the word. Mm-hmm. If it could be sorted out and tied up in a nice bow, forget about the word. We got this all taken care of.
Right.
You know.
And that's where the church system has failed.
Exactly.
For years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's easy to do.
Well, we're living proof that by continually looking at the word, things that we didn't see
time.
With God's, with the Holy Spirit, we then see. And it's not the first time or the fifth time or the tenth time or the hundredth time. It's God's time. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, so I imagine someday this will become really, really clear. I just don't know if today's the day.
The only day it's going to be really, really clear is when the Spirit.
Right.
You know, it's funny, and I mean, you got to stay open, too.
Yeah.
Oh, but at this point, for me, when I hear, and He created all things, you know, Christ, well, to me, that I thought, how can that be if He was born? And then I think, well, because God... It's like a, well, I've said this for quite a while, and I don't know if it's true, but it's where I'm at. There would be no sense to create any of the earth or us if we were doomed to go to hell. So He knew that He needed a plan. He knew He was going to have a son that was going to redeem us, was going to redeem everybody before the son, who... you know, had a heart for God, who believed in God. So, yeah, so He did create it all because of His Son. If you want to say through His Son, whatever. God's mind was going to be through His Son. So that's where I'm at. But, you know.
And I agree. I mean, didn't Moses say, just before he God took him, that this is what you should do, and you're going to fail. I mean, He knew at the time, even in Moses' time, you know, God revealed it to Moses, that these are my laws, this is what you should do, these are the laws you should live by, and you're going to fail at it, and I will have to send
the greater Moses.
And so, you know, the plan was
hear him.
Yeah.
Forget about hear
him. Yeah.
A prophet.
Yeah.
I'm going to send a prophet.
Yeah right.
So,
right.
So to your point, there was a plan, and it's been there. And it's been unfolding.
That is a good point. Boy, you know, all those laws that were listened to in Leviticus. But then Moses ends up saying, this is all provisional. There'll be a greater, there'll be a greater prophet. Hear him.
And the strange thing about it is, all of the sacrifices and all of the, everything the prophets wrote were because of Jesus. And that's why to hear him straightens out all the prophets. And the Bible tells us that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You know, it was a schoolmaster. And the law has been abolished. And I was just listening this morning, and I heard it where it says that the law and the prophets were until John. And it's not that the law and the prophets were wrong. Their purpose ended with Jesus. You know, there's no purpose anymore. But they're okay because they're still true. They're not wrong. It's just that without the New Testament, you don't stand a chance with the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament was the truth concealed, the New Testament is the truth revealed. And I've heard that for years. You know, and so so Jesus is a full. I was thinking about this whole last week. Jesus was and is the focal point of everything that God had planned before creation. He was the focal point.
And when he was a focal point, God at that time also knew everyone that was going to be saved.
Yes, amen. Yep. So, so there's nothing special about foreknowledge in that respect.
Wait a minute. You know, but in a sense, the law is still here because people have to see they can't keep a law or keep themselves in a place without Jesus. You know, that's the only place that the law is still kind of present is, you know, if you go, well, what? I'm fine. I'm not. Well, yeah, but the law says you're sinning. What law? You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to see that you are a sinner by the law. But Jesus says the new, you know, now you don't go do sacrifices and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Now you come to Him, you know, to be redeemed.
It says that the law is a schoolmaster. It's continuing to be a schoolmaster.
Yeah. But you don't. But you don't keep it in the sense that you don't. You want to have it in your heart and your mind, right? To where you don't want to do those things because you love Jesus and the Lord, Father, God, Father, more than the law, or more than wanting to, you know, sin.
I always took that as the difference being that after Christ shed His blood, any other blood to be shed would just defile the sacrifice.
Yeah.
His sacrifice.
Yeah, right.
So that's the way I look at the old and the new is you had to shed some blood and give it up, and the ultimate sacrifice was made. And so no more blood needs to be shed, but you still have to request and say, you know, I'm a sinner.
Blood
and,
to cover
and make repentance.
Yeah, for the blood to cover you.
Yeah.
The one man. You know,
yeah, His blood.
Yeah.
Well, with the freedom we have to discuss the scripture, I'm thankful for a verse that I was just thinking of the other day. It says, "Great peace have they that love God's word, and nothing shall offend them."
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to know the truth. Do I have it? I didn't say that. I want to know it.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I want to know the truth.
And
you have it in your hand.
And you know that in you know where it says in John 17:17 where Jesus is prayer. It's in the prayer chapter. He says, "Sanctify them," which means separate them. You know, to your truth. You know, you're going to separate people through your truth, which is going to be different than all these other things that exist. God's going to have a people that are separated unto Him through His truth. And so anyway, it says, you know, your word is truth. You know that I've discovered that there's a lot of other scriptures, even in the book of John, that says that, it tells us that God's word is truth. Your word is truth.
Yeah.
There's a number of places.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so not just in 17:17, you know. But anyway, I never did. That was not my intention of getting us that far off this morning. In Jude, I don't know, some of you have been looking at Jude 19:20, 21, and 22. Well, anyway, in the first couple of verses of Jude, Jude is saying, you know, I wrote you this, I'm writing you this for salvation purposes, you know, so that you'll be saved. And then, you know, of course, Jude is a half brother of Jesus, we think, pretty sure he is. And so here he is, all the way through this. If there's anybody, any book that's critical of people that are not following the Word of God, it's this one. And, I mean, he's talking about a lot of things, but he's talking about the church, the condition of the church. And you know what? You know, it says, "Those that feast themselves among you that are hypocrites and whatever else." And, you know, but anyway... you know, murmurers, mockers, and so forth. Raging waves of the sea, spots in your piece of charity, full of greed. They speak evil of things which they don't know, you know. I mean, that's the book of Jude. I've been read backwards here, but so then we go all the way up to verse 18. And so what I have done, I believe, is given a wrong impression of verse 19. Because you know what I did? I did exactly what I said you shouldn't do. I isolated it. Mm. Without reading the other verses. So verse 19, we're talking about all of these ones that are up to this verse. These are those who separate themselves. From what? They separate themselves from God by using their logic, their human senses. This is verse 19. And what is their problem? They have not the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So verse 20 jumped out at me. I heard it on tape. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, comma. What's it, when you got a comma, what do you mean? What does it mean?
Move on to a different idea or clause or
separation. Mm-hmm.
Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Is that part of it?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. Mm-hmm. And then it says, keep yourselves, as a comma again, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So we've got a series of things that are vital right here. And I think God wants us to see this. See, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How important is speaking in tongues? Praying in tongues, how vital is it? How valuable is it?
Very,
very, very important.
You know? And you know what? In the second chapter of Acts, and Peter's talking, he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11, in 13, where it says, if you being evil, then know how to give good gifts to your children. Gifts. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? What is it? A gift.
Yep, it's a gift.
God has given us a gift, a special gift. You know what? You don't want to refuse anything God gives you. And if this is a gift, you know what? I saw this the other day. This is a special gift. It's not just a gift. It's a vital, valuable, important. You don't want to live without it. And what it does, tongues has an impact. It has an impact on me. And what it does, it will build you up in your faith. It'll build you up in your, it just builds you up.
I think you become more receptive to things of the Spirit. You recognize them as being. Oh, yes, this is it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the dilemma, that I struggle with. So, if you don't have that gift, where are you?
Why do we not talk about that?
I know it. It's hard. Because we know people that don't, but we feel that they're in the Spirit with us, whatever. Well, so, you know.
What we need to do, and this is, that's right along my thought pattern, a lot of it. And what I think we need to do is we need to pray that God show us how to help them.
Yeah. I really would love that, you know.
Yeah, that we can help them.
Yeah. It's best to be speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
It just is. It does seem as though the Lord provides some kind of provision for those, for whatever reason he has it. But hey, the tongues is better than any kind of provisional arrangement.
Yeah.
It is.
In all the years that I've, have received the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, I have for years, I mean, 50 years. It's only been the last year or so that I understood why. I know to obey is better than sacrifice, but I mean, I never really got it until we started seeing that God opened up the scriptures. And here's churches, without being pointing my fingers at anything, but there are churches that I know of that that believe that the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians doesn't belong in the Bible. That's one of the most valuable verse or chapters in the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty common for a denomination to say that that doesn't fit the denomination, so it doesn't belong.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
That's how you deal with it. I think Charlie was touching on it right, though. I think the Holy Spirit is a tremendous help, speaking in tongues and letting the Holy Spirit work in your life.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful and to limit what God can do. Don't, is it salvational? I don't think so. I don't think it's a deal breaker, because that would be putting a limit on God's grace and mercy, and I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But I do think that revelation and understanding and insight and understanding the Word comes from being able to speak in tongues. A greater revelation. Mm-hmm. You're not prevented, but it seems, the scripture tells us we don't know how to pray. Speaking in tongues kind of gets us around that problem.
Yeah. Well, it's complicated and difficult because, the things that come out of Pablo's mouth are just plain spiritual. Mm-hmm.
I thought he had said that he had started.
Yeah, he has been speaking in tongues for a while.
Oh, he has been?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
I don't know if he uses it a lot or is comfortable mm-hmm. with it yet. Or
I don't think he has maybe all the revelations of it or anything yet, but he does.
None of us have all the revelations.
No.
So we're safe there.
And with some, some people, because I've talked with different ones, they can't get past the fact that they are worthy of the gift. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we need to pray about, that we rebuke the enemy, because it's the enemy's lie that's saying that to them, that's telling them that they're not worthy of the gift. But see, gifts have nothing to do with worth. When they're being given by someone.
Yeah.
And you don't get to judge whether the gift is given to you or not. But the enemy tries to judge you.
Yeah.
And then.
Any of you guys remember the Hunters? You remember, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing them. I read their books.
Did you ever?
Yes.
And, anyway, I don't think they were ever at our church, but I was at a number of meetings where they were at. And they had a strange system for getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. And do you remember that?
No.
And anyway, they'd say, they'd be praying for them, and they'd say, "Now just repeat after me."
Speak in tongues.
And I thought, that went right against my grain. And I just kind of ignored it and walked away from it. But you know what? I know people that got filled with the Holy Spirit, really.
Yeah.
They really did. I think that what the Bible says, remember what Paul is asking in the Galatians? He says, tell me this. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive it by the hearing with faith or by the works of the law? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, what do you mean hearing by faith? There's a possibility that maybe that we don't have the right approach yet. That's not the right word. There's a probability. probability that we don't have it. And I think that we could do, if we would do some more praying in this area and do some helping, and Gene has been a real helper over the years for people receiving the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I think all of my granddaughters received it because of Gene. And so she might be a lot of help. So, but it's such a vital thing that you want everybody to receive it, because I'm beginning to see what it does to me. It changes my perspective.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about like the hunters, now people are hearing that they're going to be at a place, and for what reason? So, if people are coming, then they have a certain desire. So then if they're there and they're going to listen to them, and they have, their faith is building, and if they say, and they're in their heart, they go, I want this gift, and they repeat after me, yeah, whatever it takes, you know, I'll repeat it after you because that's what I want. Well, then God would more than likely honor that, because mm-hmm. it's the desire of their heart. Mm-hmm. It isn't just that somebody's saying,
I'm not positive. And for the sake of anybody, I don't want anybody to be offended by what I'm going to say, but I believe that Betty was one of them that received her Holy Spirit, the Spirit through the hunters.
Actually, I was reading a book about receiving the Holy Spirit when I prayed. Two times now I've read books. Right? That's crazy. That doesn't sit right now, but it's what God used at the time. Because I was at my kitchen table. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I was actually reading it. I know I sat at my kitchen table, and that's when I prayed. Mm-hmm. And it didn't come. And then I said, Lord, and they had said, yeah, I had read the book, somebody's book, I think it was. They said, well, if you, maybe there's a hindrance. Maybe you have something against somebody or whatever. And I went, and I started praying, and it's like the Spirit went, yeah, you want to show your brother-in-law. So I repented, and in the next minute or two, I received it. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. You know? And I did, and it had, obviously it was true repentance, or he wouldn't have granted it, I'm sure, but, you know, because I did see that in the back of my mind it was like,
but I know several people, I think it was the right help, but it would just happen.
I think Judy Holmes was responsible for me.
And I guess it was Judy Holmes with me too.
Yeah, we did pray. She prayed and went back home.
Gosh. And the other thing I took by faith is they said, well, then just start moving your tongue or something to give it an opportunity, and that's what happened.
Well, that was the hunters.
Yeah, and then it took off. I took off speaking in tongues, and man, I was in glory.
It never seemed like it was as good as the next one. It seemed like they weren't words, or they were, or, you know, it didn't sound.
I know things were coming out of my mouth, but I didn't know what they were.
it's a valuable and a vitally important thing.
Yeah.
And I had a rebuke, and I had this frequently, but I had a rebuke from the Lord recently, and here's what I can give you the gist of it. It's like God was, he says, ask me, you know, pray and ask me what you want, but don't tell me how to do it. it was a real good rebuke.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one we can all use.
And right now I can feel the after effects of it. I shook, you know, I was shaking. And I've never done voice. I didn't have to hear one.
Some people just get it and don't even know what it is. And that's one thing where it's hard to realize, you know, some people have to work so hard for it.
and so that doesn't fit perfectly, but it does fit what we're talking about receiving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But you're in, because some people, it's the themselves, the natural, as Kim was saying.
Yeah.
You know, there's someone who said, well, are you doing this with a pure heart? And, no, maybe not so much. I want to demonstrate my spirituality
right.
to someone, you know, and it's like, oh. So, but it's important, but it's not a deal breaker, is the way I look at it.
So, oh, I think it's a deal breaker.
Well, I just don't know. I don't want to limit God.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, but yeah. It's like, well, if you say, if you don't have this, then I can't quite make that other side of the mesh. But, you know, Sundays mornings, we usually talk about testimonies, and well, I haven't had, a prolific single event. I just need to give God the glory for what He's been doing in me over a period of time here. As you kind of look back and how things are just better. And when I say that, it's like the ups and downs of natural life are still up and down, but they just are not bothering me the way they used to. Because He's, you know, because of where I am in the Word and where I am in my faith, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
It's not, okay, it's not good.
Yeah.
But it's not. I mean, I don't know. I used to have these huge swings about, oh, poor me, and oh, this is wonderful. And I was like, yeah, gotta take care of it.
Yeah.
Gotta take care of it. You know, it's like, and I have to give Him the praise and the glory for doing that to me, because I find my life is so much easier if it's not fretting about the stuff that I'm not supposed to be fretting about anyways. No, maybe that's some of this old age.
Yeah.
Acknowledging I just can't fix things like I thought I could. And it's only taken me 45 years to get to that point. But I really want to give Him the praise and the glory for just taking, quote unquote, the drama out of my natural life.
But I guess as long as you're giving testimony, I will too. And that is, I have, in a sense, never felt more in tune with the essence of God, the truth, you know, whatever. And my outward behavior just does not warrant that, you know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't, you know?
This is where I know I really like good with
you. You know, I mean, not that I'm doing anything super terrible, you know, but it's such a mundane existence that I have, and yet to be so, you know,
so blessed,
in tune with,
yeah.
You know, it's not on the basis of merit.
Yeah.
You know, it really is unmerited. And Moses said, when He comes, hear Him.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. We're hearing God through Christ. And it says no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. You know, and no man knows the Father except the Son, and whosoever the Son reveals Him. And it's like, there's a revelation. We got it right here. Here's the revelation.
I agree. I was just kind of thinking about what Charlie said. I'm going, well, now wait a minute. We know that it's not what we're going to do anyway. It's like, you know, I'm not merit basing yet. It's just kind of funny when you think about that. The place that we can be in God with an open and sincere heart trumps our less than good choices, because God can work with an open and sincere heart, even though we fall short.
I don't know what he's
even though we fall short.
Just the last day or two, I really was pondering on my condition and still that God was faithful and still giving truth. The last week I did think, I really haven't received any big revelations here. Like you're supposed, to be getting revelation every day.
Like I'm behind quarter.
Yeah, yeah. So I gotta stop thinking that way.
Ding ding ding. No, this is not right.
Yeah. But then coming here, but I was looking so forward to being here this morning. I mean, I was anxious, you know.
People on the street noticed.
Oh,
we saw a vehicle go by.
Yeah.
30 minutes early.
I know it's how early you got here.
I got up, decent, and I just really couldn't wait.
Corey?
That
in itself?
Yeah.
I mean, anticipation of what God and the favor that He has on us is nothing to overlook.
You know, I have days where I pray for a certain thing and I succumb to it sometimes. But when I don't, I give Him glory because I know I turned to His strength on the day that I didn't give in, And so He deserves the glory for it because I know it's Him, And the other day when I did, then I know it's just I'm weak and my flesh overtakes, And then you repent, and then, But see, probably never was in that condition before to know the differences.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. Like,
oh, there you're
like Charlie, when you're saying the things you're saying. Yeah. It's just God is finally showing us our whole self. And you know what? He'll clean it up if we stay true.
Amen.
He'll fix it.
He will.
He'll take care of it. Now I gotta keep hearing that. Tomorrow, the next day, that requires as much faith as anything, to believe that He will sanctify you besides yourself.
In spite of yourself?
Yeah, in spite of yourself.
Yeah.
The other thing sometimes, way back when they had Search for the Truth and Deliverance and all that stuff as it comes along, how did we all get together? What made us stay here or do it? And, it was like, it was almost like a great. Because, the people that were here.
The obstacles weren't there somehow.
There were a lot of teachings that were maybe off base, but they were. They gave you something to, inquire about or something. It was something like real, but not.
At a different stage, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for its time, but not something that you'd want to try to imitate every.
But it seems like, why don't we have more of those kind of get-together? You don't hear about people praying in the Spirit anymore or praying for each other in the Spirit.
A verse. Did I interrupt you?
No.
A verse that has had a big impact on me, this has been for at least a year, is 2 Corinthians 10:5, and it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
That's a good idea.
That's what it says. That's what I discovered. We can do that. We can do it. As a matter of fact, after a while, you recognize a wrong thought before it comes. I don't even know how to say that. You become aware that one's coming. And that is I thought, well,
Nobody can do that. Yes, we can. Somehow God helps us to do it. So when you get some kind of a thought that you shouldn't have, you can bring that into obedience, and Christ will take it captive.
Maybe you do that when you're in your 80s.
Well, that's, I don't know.
I'm joking, yeah.
But you don't do it. You actually don't do it. But Christ does. That's what I'm saying.
I see.
Yeah, well, that's why it says have the mind of Christ, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who could turn away every...
Yeah. I think a lot of the things that are in the Bible are things that we are to aspire to. But heaven forbid that we should say, well, that's not going to happen. Yeah, I should aspire to it, but forget about that. That's not it. That's not it. We aspire to it until we get there, and then it's ours when we get there.
Where is it, Keith, that scripture where it says, well, maybe it's in Romans, where, well, does this mean that I can sin? No.
Right.
Yeah. No. It doesn't mean that at all.
God forbid it. Right.
Yeah, God forbid it.
Right.
But it keeps making these, well, if this is what this means, he goes, no. I listen to that, go in that setting, and it's like, yeah, these are all the natural responses, so it's okay. Heaven forbid it.
But then he doesn't give a real good answer why that's not true.
that is so typical of Scripture where,
right.
No, this is not right, but the right path is still to be discerned. And it still requires the Holy Spirit to get those answers. You said something earlier today, Keith, and I can't quite... It was all back, but it was interesting because we were talking about, you know, and I was thinking, and really, you were talking about not knowing and, you know, how this can work, and I was thinking that about work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You know, we're talking about the condition of the church, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, where are you at when you say, I'm so ignorant, I don't even know that I'm ignorant, which is where a lot of the churches at, they don't even know that they're missing. And so how much grace is given in that situation? But then the flip side is, you know, and it always rings me up as like, you know, the more you know, the more you're accountable for it. I go, you know, it's kind of like, and I think some people go, I know enough because I don't want to be accountable for anymore because I'm not sure I'm keeping my head above water as it is. As we're saying, like, oh, no.
Yeah. I will wonder whether there's some resistance to speaking in tongues on account of that.
I wouldn't doubt that some would have a concern there.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know.
Although speaking in tongues and the interpretation were always fascinating to me, that people could do that.
Well,
I didn't have any problem explaining it.
Speaking as someone who doesn't really think he gets a lot of that, I know exactly what you mean. It's like, I listen to someone go, oh, God, that means, this is what God is saying. I go, you got that, huh? Glory. I'm over here going, I don't know what that is.
Right.
I'm just happy God is talking to us. I'm just reveling in the fact that he's,
Here's the condition of today's church. This is to the book of, to the church of Laodicea. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Is that today's church?
That's right.
And you know, interesting, but I read that, I used to read that so many times and just figured they were locks. But if you keep reading, he gets provision at the end for them even for the lukewarm.
Yeah, God doesn't wipe anybody off.
Yeah.
No.
But I used to
sit the throne or whatever.
Yeah, you judged.
I wipe them off. Yeah, they're lukewarm, they're done.
He says, buy from me gold tried in the fire and white raiment that you can be clothed and So the shame of your nakedness does not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve so you can see. Then he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and
repent.
Repent.
Yeah. That's a good one, always, just even if you're not sure.
So,
repenting, it just, you can't over repent. Nowhere in the Bible it says you repented too much and you have a problem.
All right.
So I'm a little like,
but the thing is, for the most part, people won't repent. You know what I mean? That's the problem.
In all fairness, a lot of people don't know their condition of repentance.
Yeah.
That's the part that I was trying to make a point of. Yeah. We lived in a position where we were so sure where we were that we were out shooting at all the other churches going, oh, they just don't know, they don't see when, you know, we were not in a position to do that.
No.
And even knowing what we know today, we would say we're less in a position to do that. Because we know that we're going to give God the greater glory, and we're not going to keep our hand off of the ark.
Along with that, though, so they don't know. That's why prophesying is going to be so important.
Yes.
Because it will let them know. That's why God, that's why every time when Israel was so backslidden, what did he do? He sent a prophet.
He did.
To tell them what their condition was. And how to come back to him, you know.
I think Stephen was a prophet. Look what they did to him.
Yeah.
But yes.
But he was making them aware. They had
he provided the opportunity. And look what happened with Paul, who was on hand at the time.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And I mean, the sad part about it is that if it makes you aware, then you're accountable.
That's right.
And you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't react the right way,
then you have... Like John said, we have all these thousands of false prophets who are pastors over churches, and they say, you're doing fine. There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
And so the people listen to their pastors and their priests and their whoever else, and they it eases their conscience.
Yeah.
It's probably just my nature, but I am terrified of being a false prophet.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not something I want to even get anywhere near. So that's why I say, you know, I don't know if I would have thrown three fleeces out. I might have been more like a six or seven fleece kind of guy.
So
I really, really want to be sure, Lord.
One of the things that God has really been cleaning up for us is in 1 John 4, you know, where he says, beloved, don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits to see whether they're from God. And then he said, makes a statement. He says, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking, that's one and the same. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and that's what we are coming into that. We're realizing that. He came in the flesh. He stayed in the flesh. Those spirits are from God.
Those are two different things to me. I think there's a lot of people who believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh.
He came in the flesh, but
I don't think that a lot of people, as many people believe, he stayed in the flesh.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I think that's significant. And the scriptures don't kind of make those signs of that. Although flesh and bone, you know, it's interesting.
But process of being glorified versus deified, or.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Yeah,
and then why, if you are God, then why would you still keep a form in heaven like the Lamb which was slain?
That's right, yeah.
But going to appear as the Son of Man coming back in the cloud? You know, I mean, why?
Right.
You know?
I'm with you there. I'm
just
saying,
right, you're right.
At one scripture.
But they don't, but that's where a lot of that doesn't get revealed.
Yeah.
And we didn't see it either, you know.
For a long time.
Even his disciples were confused because, you walk through a wall and you're standing next to him and they said it's a spirit. And then he corrected them. Yeah. Does a spirit have flesh and bones? Had he seen rehab?
You know,
well, that would have been the time when he was switched from flesh to spirit, wouldn't it?
Does it ever, I can't remember now, and then men appear to different ones as angels. Does it say they ate?
I think one sat down and ate with Abraham.
Because I was going to say, yeah, well, angels
and stuff, they
never tried to show that they didn't have flesh and bone. You know, like Jesus made it obvious that he wasn't a spirit, an angel, or whatever. So, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how that relates.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Well, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to eat with them in the kingdom. Yeah. So, what goes on in the kingdom? Are the people going to eat things?
Yeah.
You know what? I think so. This is my own speculation, but I think we're not going to have to worry about getting rid of it. It'll just be absorbed right into our new system. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
If the food is pure, I suppose there would be no waste, right?
Yeah.
Right. I guess if you look at it that way, I don't know. I'm not going to spend much time thinking on that.
That's down the road.
And to spiritualize things, something at that time we would say, yes, this is the best meal ever.
Yeah, and then is it spiritual food? You know.
Right.
There's a lot of speculation.
Maybe it'll be mad.
Maybe
it'll be mad.
Yeah, at least I better over here. We can take a little bit.
Lori.
Yes. I love you guys. One thing, I don't want you to believe everything I say, and I'm not going to believe everything you say.
It's a process.
Yeah. It's very much a process.
Give it a kind of a proper ending.
But eventually we're going to get things coming in a straighter form. You know what I mean? Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love you all.